Hello once again and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Patrick Donges. Yesterday, 23-year-old Olympian Nick Del Popolo, the best judo fighter in his weight class in the U.S., became the first Olympic athlete disqualified in competition for a positive test for marijuana. Del Popolo, a New Jersey native who moved to the New York's Capital District to train, said he accidentally ingested the cannabis, and as being reported today by the Saratogian, a relative has come forward admitting that they baked the drug into brownies that they served to Del Popolo before he left for London. The move has drawn criticism from those who believe this may be one step too far when it comes to policing the personal lives of athletes. Marijuana was added to the International Olympic Committee's list of banned substances in 1998 following the positive test of Canadian snowboarder Ross Rebliati, who blamed secondhand smoke. Today, we want to know, why should we care what drugs our athletes are taking? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, that's one word, or you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Well, Nick Del Popolo, who was from Westfield, New Jersey, he moved to the Saratoga, Schenectady County area to train in Glenville, kicked out of the Olympics yesterday for marijuana. And marijuana, as I've got here, not added to the list of IOC banned substances until 1998. And that was after Ross Rebliati, a Canadian snowboarder who won, I believe, the first medal in Olympic snowboarding, was tested positive for marijuana. And they made the change at that point because it was not on the list at that point in 98. So they had to change it to put so-called social drugs on the list. Let's go. Our first caller, Chris in Albany. Chris, you're on Vox Pop.
Hey. I mean, specifically, he broke the rule. I'm sure that he was aware of the rules. I'm sure his trainers were aware of the rules. Everybody else competed under the same rules, I assume, and other people did not test positive. With that said, though, I can't possibly understand how anyone could make the argument that marijuana would enhance his ability to compete. I don't particularly believe his story on how he ingested the marijuana, but I don't think that's really material for this.
Well, the IOC already admits that marijuana does nothing to enhance an athlete's performance, so it's simply a matter of it being a social drug and being illegal in some but not most places, which also makes this tricky because, I mean, what if he was from New York, where obviously medical marijuana isn't legal? What if he was from California, where he could get it for so-called therapeutic purposes?
Yeah, I mean, I consider that, but the same argument could then be made for other countries that have totally different drug laws than the U.S. does. You know, it's an international body. They set the rules. They set the standards. All these people enter into this knowing these rules and standards, I assume. You know, as much as I disagree with the rule itself, I don't think the disagreement with the rule exonerates him from the punishment of the rule that he agreed to follow.
All right. And what's your take on, I see here you have a take on alcohol and sport, too. Do you think these Olympians should be allowed to drink?
I mean, I can't imagine being an Olympic competitor and not being thrilled to know that my competitor was out drinking heavily the night before. It's, you know, it's almost a freebie. So, you know, it just seems like, if he wants to smoke pot, I'd be thrilled. If he wants to drink the night before, I'd be thrilled. It just, it seems counterintuitive to punish people for behaviors that will theoretically
ultimately make them less effective in the field.
Yeah, it's just going to slow the guy down. I mean, you know, I don't know that much about martial arts, but I assume balance is a major issue, hand-eye coordination, focus, depth perception. You know, these are not enhancing. If anything, this is a detriment, and it just seems odd that they would add that, and I wonder who pressured them to add, you know, specifically marijuana to that list, especially in 98, the social conscience, I would say, at least was beginning to shift, if not was shifted already somewhat in this country.
Right. I think the idea being in 98 that when Rebliati was sanctioned for it, they were going to strip him of his medal. And he said, well, wait a minute, it doesn't say marijuana anywhere in these guidelines. So how was I supposed to have known that? And he also had claimed that it was secondhand smoke. That is how he imbibed the substance. So
I was a ski instructor, and I don't think that it's a secret that a lot of snowboarders and, you know, probably skiers too, may smoke pot. So for a snowboarder to be the one that they catch, I think that's kind of funny in and of itself. And then for him to make that claim, I think is also kind of funny.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, he won the medal. You know, he won the award. What if a guy was hungover the day after and had a BAC level? Would they strip his medal? I don't know if alcohol's on the list or not.
Probably not. I'm not sure if it's served at the Olympic Village, if you can get a beer at the Olympic Village. But hey, Chris, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, take care. 1-800-348-2551. You can also tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. That's one word. Rebecca Eppelman of the Record newspaper checking in on Twitter, asking if it's possible to know how he ingested the substance. And as being reported today, in a statement posted on Nick Del Papalo's website, a relative had admitted giving him marijuana-laced brownies. Yesterday, Del Papalo apologized to the U.S. Olympic Committee. After the test, it says here, this is from the Saratogian today, Del Papalo said he made frantic calls to family and friends, and a female relative confessed to baking the brownies. He said, "I had no idea I had ingested marijuana until that moment," and that he slept the entire 4-hour drive home the day after he ate the brownies and figured he was just tired, I guess, was the idea. So once again, here's somebody who's saying that they didn't mean to do what they're being stripped of basically their dream to Mr. Del Papalo's dream to be in the Olympics, and now stripped of his medals. Here's another piece from the, or stripped of his opportunity to gain those medals anyway. Now here's another piece from this is the National Cannabis Coalition. He finished, Nick Del Papalo, who finished seventh in the Olympic competition, again says he inadvertently ate some food that had been baked with marijuana. As it turns out, Stephanie Lee, Team USA's number one wrestler at 72 kilograms, the same weight as Mr. Del Papalo, was an athlete who was caught before competition, who was banned from this year's Olympics for testing positive for THC prior to leaving for London, and she claimed that was legal use for a medical condition. The IOC has invested in a $30 million laboratory this year with 150 scientists working around the clock to test over 6,000 samples collected from London athletes. That's a 50% increase in samples from Beijing 4 years ago. And it says, however, former anti-doping chief Dick Pound tells CNN that maybe 10% of the athletes who use drugs are being caught. And that people who have prepared in advance and used drugs before coming to London likely would not get caught. Let's go to Tony in Beckett. Tony, you're on Vox Pop. Oh, there we are. Tony, you're on Vox Pop.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Listen, I just want to say, you know, if they're going to make us think about marijuana, then they need to make us think about alcohol, too.
Right, and that's what the previous caller had said. You know that they were curious to see if alcohol was on the banned list. I don't think it is on the banned list, but certainly there is an argument for not letting professional athletes or Olympians, at least, to imbibe before they compete.
Yeah. Whether or not they do alcohol or marijuana, of course it's going to impede. I think so.
I'm sorry, Tony. We have a bad connection here. Tony? All right. Sorry about that. Tony, call back when you get in range, and we'll chat about alcohol and the Olympics. Phil in Amherst. Phil, you're on Vox Pop.
Hey, I have a couple of questions. If you ate a bagel covered with poppy seeds and tested positive for opiate products, would you be kicked out of the Olympics? Or if you drank a coffee and tested positive for caffeine?
There's a couple of
things that ordinary people do.
Again, I'm not sure if caffeine is on the list, but there certainly...
I'm sure opiate products are.
Right, right. There certainly are a number of items that that are on the list that some anti-doping advocates say that they should probably be taken off the list. For example, pseudoephedrine, which is, of course, found in many over-the-counter cold and cough medicine, is on the banned, the IOC's banned list. So, again, to your point, you know, if people have a cold, what should they do? You know, tea and honey only goes so far.
But if you ate a bagel with poppy seeds, and I know that people have gotten positive results for opiate products.
Right.
In other words, eating a bagel would get rid of your any chance for medals?
What's your take then on Nick DelPapolo? Do you think he should be disqualified from competition for what he said he inadvertently ate the marijuana?
I think it's ridiculous. What they should watch out for is products that enhance your ability to do any particular sport. And that should be the line, not what your recreational use of drugs are.
But then let's say that for one athlete, what one athlete would consider recreational and just for fun, another athlete takes, and for whatever reason, they think it makes them stronger or better. In 98, when the IOC added these types of what they called social drugs to the list, I read a report that said that part of the concern was that they made you feel like you weren't there, you weren't in the situation, and that might be dangerous for other competitors on the field. What's your take on that?
I think that they've gone overboard. You have to remember that the commission there, the Olympic Commission, was headed for the longest period of time by a Spanish fascist who was put in power when Franco was in power, and therefore that whole commission has that sort of mindset that don't give anybody any freedom and really super control them.
Right, right. And there's a lot of there's a lot of antiquity in these Olympic committees, definitely, that kind of lean back to those kind of fascist countries.
Well, if you look
in that mindset.
Back to Greece, what the whole thing was, it's body and mind, not just the body for the Olympics, and we've gone away from the mind and just stuck to the body part.
Right, right. Phil, hey, well put. Thanks so much. We're up against the break here. 1-800-348-2551, WAMC Vox Pop. Give us a call. Drugs and sports, what's your take?
Support for WAMC comes from Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. The Rivalry with Dorset Theater Festival reading and panel discussion, August 21st, 6:30 p.m., hildene.org. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts, joyellsjewelers.com. PS21 Performance Spaces for the 21st Century, Chatham, New York, presenting Take Dance Company performing Salaryman and other new works on Friday, August 10th and Saturday, August 11th at 8 p.m. PS21Chatham.org. And Mountain Laurel Waldorf School, New Paltz, providing an integrative Waldorf educational approach in the arts, sciences, and humanities for preschool through 8th grade. MountainLaurel.org.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Talking about sports and drugs in sports after the disqualification of Nick DelPapolo, American Olympic judo athlete from right around here, Schenectady, Saratoga County. He was a Ballston High School graduate. He trained in Glenville and no longer qualified to go for his dream in the Olympics because he tested positive for marijuana. He said he did not know he ate. Alex in Ulster Park, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Well, I think I'm going to dip back into the antiquity aspect of it that you just
sure.
And that is this. Of course, the people the athletes who compete representing their countries are primarily there to prove that they're the best in whatever event they represent. But like it or not, these athletes who have been in training all their life, in almost every instance, have aspired to being on the team, and those who get on it, and particularly those who are winners, constantly mention in their post-event interviews the not just the winning, but the feeling of pride in representing their countries. So the aspect that I think is being neglected is that these athletes, it's fine that they represent the physical best that there is, but I think that they must also realize that we must also consider in our judgment the fact that they are representatives, like it or not, to upcoming young people. And I don't feel that it's right that the standards, which reflect those of dedication, persistence, what can I say, purity. It sounds like a Puritan word. I don't think those considerations should be set aside for the sake of modern conveniences. First of all, today's modern convenience is to be tomorrow's old-fashioned method. So that's all I'm saying. I think we need to consider that there are rules of behavior as well as results that matter.
So now it sounds like you would agree with Mr. DelPapalo being DQ'd on his what he says was a mistake, his marijuana imbibing. Is that your take?
I think he has become inadvertently a sad victim of what is now the code. But yes, I feel bad for him, and in many ways it's not fair. But we think about the fact that if people say, well, that guy won and he took marijuana, why shouldn't I?
Well, I mean, now think about this then. The leading medalist in Olympic history is Michael Phelps, who, if you remember a couple years back, the flap was that he was photographed, and those photographs were posted online of him smoking marijuana. I mean, he had a water pipe, and he was big puffs of smoke. What do you think should become of his medals then? Should he be stripped of his medals if he's not living up to that kind of social ideal?
Well, I'm being asked to make a judgment for which I wasn't prepared.
Well,
but
I
will tell you this. If I was making a decision myself, I would do that. For the sake of the purity of what it represents and what it represents to future young people.
Yeah, purity is a tricky word there you're using. We don't want to harken back to the Berlin Olympics. I mean, I think what you're talking about is kind of social norms and the idea that we should be teaching.
What about American norms?
Right. Sure. All right, Alex, thanks so much. And let's go to David in Monson, Massachusetts. David, you're on Vox Pop.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
You actually beat me to the punch about Michael Phelps because I was going to bring that up. And I think that would have been a lot of chaos if they tried to disqualify Michael Phelps, even though he never did test positive for marijuana. We know he did smoke in the off season. And that goes back to those snowboarders. You know, that's part of the culture. It's a social drug. And, I sort of understand why they put that rule in. But, you know, alcohol, I mean, how many athletes use alcohol? Quite a few of them.
And actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to get in. Looking now, this is actually from the Internet. The use of alcohol is banned in selected sports only during actual competition.
Right.
From the Olympics.
Yeah, and it doesn't stay in your system as long as marijuana either.
Sure.
So that's another factor that happens in, you know, people's everyday life because of that issue, with the drug testing they do on jobs. But the other point I wanted to make was that caffeine and coffee and other is a very performance-enhancing drug. And as far as I know, that's still allowed because it's a socially acceptable drug.
Right. I believe caffeine is allowed, but that there's a guide that they have to what there's known as stimulant drinks, where there could be certain substances that might be banned by the different international sport bodies that if whereas coffee might not get you in trouble, your rock stars or your whatever else's energy drinks may indeed get you in trouble.
Well, yeah, close to competition. There is a limit. Yeah, there is a certain limit where they... But it's a pretty high limit from what I understand. And, yeah, I mean, during your training, I mean, no one's going to really get busted for Rockstar, I don't think.
Well, no. And it's funny. I mean, harkening back to kind of looking at social norms and the idea of caffeine versus marijuana, there still being, marijuana obviously being legal and there being a stigma about the use of marijuana in most places, I think, in the U.S., there still being some hesitance on the general public to kind of accept it as something that many people use. But I mean, with that said, you know, there's this year there's three states that are going to have recreational marijuana ballot initiatives on the ballot. If states start turning the corner and marijuana becomes more socially acceptable, do you think that this is the type of thing where, you know, the International Olympic Committee might be apologizing to Nick DelPapalo a couple of years down the line?
No.
No.
They're probably slow to change on something like that. My point is that, like, Sudafed, which you had mentioned earlier,
right,
that's performance enhancing. That's a definite performance enhancer, and that should be banned, in my opinion, because, you know, there are other things you can use. But, again, you're getting close to, you know, some herbal type substances that have, you know, the Chinese were using and things like that. That
sure.
Hard to regulate everything. I mean, there's just so much out there that, you know, just grows in the ground too that people use. Basically, I just wanted to say that, you know, alcohol and marijuana, not performance enhancing, you know.
Right.
Due to fat and caffeine, yes.
Sure. All right, David, thank you so much for calling.
Take care. Bye.
All right. 1-800-348-2551. We've got one line open. Patrick in LaGrangeville. Patrick, you're on Vox Pop.
Yeah, I could probably talk about this all afternoon. Anyway, I think that marijuana could perhaps be, you know, performance enhancing, depending on your, you know, your how you feel about your marijuana use.
Well, how so? I mean, what do you?
Well, because I mean, I just, you know, in my own personal experiences, sometimes, you know, I mean, skiing, I like getting stoned to go skiing, and it takes away some of the inhibitions, perhaps. You know what I mean? And gets you into a zone, if you will, if that's, you know, if that's where you want to be. There was that fellow who was the snowboard champion or whatever, prior to that being a snowboard champion, he had been a snowmobile, you know, and he had admitted that he was, you know, all hopped up on weed and Jack Daniels when he won, you know, national, international competitions on the snowmobile. You know, he was reckless, but he was in control enough to be a champion. But the other thing is, I mean, is Ritalin or Concerta, or, you know, if somebody has ADD, are they allowed? Is that on the ban list, or is that okay? You know, I mean, what about antidepressants? Where do we draw the line?
Here,
blood pressure medicine.
I'm looking at the list now. In terms of the IOC's banned list, it says that while some painkillers are allowed, including codeine, so codeine is allowed. There's a whole list here, of course, heroin, methadone, morphine, oxycodone, oxymorphone, pentazocaine, and also on the bottom of this list is cannabis products also banned. Right. So it looks like there are some narcotics that actually are allowed in competition.
But Ritalin is what they're giving to, you know, every kid that the teacher thinks has a problem, you know, with attention, rather than giving the kid more exercise or whatever, you know what I mean? And they also, in many cases, they give a low dose of a, you know, straight amphetamine for people who have attention, you know, supposedly, or do have, you know, attention deficit problems. And clearly that's not a problem. And again, I could argue all day or anything. I like your take on this. I think that you're doing a very good job of moderating this program. And the other thing is that, I mean, I think that the committee members themselves should be tested on a daily basis for whatever they're ingesting, you know what I mean? So that they are being held to the same standard as the athletes. If they're the ones running this whole shebang, where are their blood and urine tests? Are they being tested on a regular basis to see what they're taking every night?
I think there's a couple of fencers who might want the judges to be tested, too. There's some strange fencing calls, I think, I've seen. That.
Yeah, right, yeah. I agree. The whole thing is strange. I mean, I think the Olympics are nothing but a great big farce and you know, a competition between China and America for the, you know, who can get the most gold medals and at whatever price. And you commented before, or somebody commented before, that, you know, that they're catching perhaps 10% of the people who are really doping.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so to me, it's all pretty ludicrous. But again, I mean, the committee members being tested, and, you know, marijuana, you mean cocaine or something in your system, you can, as many people have said, alcohol can be used and it's gone the next day. And, you know, certainly you're probably not going to perform your best with a hangover.
Right, right. That was the point a previous caller had made, yeah, that they'd be thrilled if they were competing against somebody with a hangover.
Yeah, but with weed, I can see. You know, I mean, if you were diving or skiing or, you know, wrestling, I mean, there's a lot of places where, you know, for some people, marijuana is definitely a focuser, and it puts you right into your zone. Game on. You know,
all right,
I mean,
well,
musicians, you know?
After this, I'm going to put in a call to the IOC and let them know marijuana actually a performance-enhancing drug. Hey, Patrick.
There you go. Then it will definitely be banned forever.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Patrick.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
All right, let's go to Chris in Amherst. Chris, you're on Vox Pop.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a quick point here.
Sure.
You know, for the last 20 years or so, I've had the thought that perhaps, you know, you could have a cheaters league and then a non-cheaters league in whatever sport, you know. So those who want to take steroids and whatever performance-enhancing things can go for it and go nuts and, you know, whatever. And the purists can go their way.
Chris,
and so you can have two separate things, because right now it's so muddled that nobody can really tell who the real champions are, in a way. Never mind the amount of money that's put into sport, you know, and, you know, like, you know, corporate, everything, you know. For example, like a touchdown isn't a touchdown. It's a Toyota touchdown now. I mean, I'm sure. Pretty confused by sports. I don't even watch them anymore because I find them so tainted, you know, not just by money but by, you know, drugs and stuff too. So since you can't really tell who's doing what, why don't you just come out and say, hey, here, have a cheaters league and a non-cheaters league?
Well, I mean, part of the argument over the years has been, you know, there's been all these controversies in Major League Baseball. I mean, you've got your recently you've got your Ryan Braun, you've got your Barry Bonds and
Clemens.
Oh, Clemens, of course. And if you were, you know, alive and watching baseball in the summer in '98, then the Maguire-Sosa thing.
Right.
I mean, for me as a boy, that was one of the most exciting summers of baseball. And then, you know, you come to find years later that these guys were probably juicing. And some people argue, well, one, why should we care if these guys juiced up to get this, you know, to get this type of entertainment value, you know, more bang for your buck? And two, what of the other major leagues? I mean, what about football? Apparently, you know, people have said that there is rampant steroid use in football, and yet
right.
There doesn't seem to be these type of controversies.
Well, it seems to certain degrees that so many sports are kind of turning the way of championship wrestling, and those guys certainly use steroids, you know. Anyway, that's my comment.
Great. All right, Chris, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Malcolm in Sunderland, Massachusetts, you're on Vox Pop.
Good afternoon. How do you do?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Well, I just wanted to make a few comments here, one of them being that I agree with a lot of the things that the past people have said. One of them I really liked was the maybe the officials should get tested, and I actually think that would be more important. If the judges are judging, it's probably more important that they be tested than the athletes, in some ways, because, you know, their judgments are need to be spot on.
Sure.
If the athletes screw up, then they just lose the gold, you know, or whatever. But in terms of other substances that people take, I know there's this thing that I've discovered. I suffer from fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue-based symptoms. And this thing called D-ribose,
okay.
Which it's actually, you can get it on shelves of some of your, you know, stores like Whole Foods, and I think GNC has it, and other places like that. You can order it through vitamin supplement companies. It's essentially, from what I understand, it's basically the chemical that's one step short of ATP, which is what the cells are converting other complex sugars and carbs into. To then have them at this stage where they can convert them to energy.
Okay.
So it's something that kind of gives you more energy. It also helps with muscle fatigue and pain, I guess, a bit, which to my experience, it certainly has. And so I looked it up, and athletes are allowed to use this stuff. It doesn't mean they're all using it, you know, necessarily, just the ones who know about it. I would assume, based on what I've experienced from it, that any Olympic athlete in their right mind takes a little bit of this stuff, because, I mean, it's great. It really does help with muscle pain and energy. It's there for you.
So it works for you, is what you're saying.
Well,
so.
And from what I understand, it works for a lot of people.
Right.
And I have been reading up, some of the Olympic athletes are very pro using this stuff. Now, it's technically a supplement.
Right.
So I think that leads us right into the heart of the matter, which one of your callers was bringing up, which is that this actually, you know, they don't want it to do this, and I say they in quotes, of course. But any powers that be that say are against this kind of possible decriminalization, or the whole, you know, mixing of these substances just going from straight bad or good to being more complex than that, I think this is going to open up a can of worms for them, because this is right the heart of the matter. The athletes, you know, what are these substances doing to them? Specifically, it won't do the same thing to everyone, you know what I mean? In terms of marijuana specifically, that is not going to enhance everyone's performance every time.
Sure, and probably not this D-ribose either would probably not enhance performance every time.
It won't enhance everyone's performance every time.
Right.
I think that's part of the point. But there's a lot of evidence to show that certain people will have their performances enhanced by this, at least, you know, almost as a guarantee or, you know, regularly enough to count on it. So, you know, do we want to get into that in terms of shouldn't we really be looking scientifically at what these things do anyway before we either, you know, ban them from sports and or decriminalize, you know, criminalize or decriminalize them?
So where does the line in sport then get drawn as far as if everything could possibly, if anything you put in your system, anything naturally that could alter your, I mean, you know, talk about the superfoods. They have, that's a big thing in fitness now, you know, everything from avocado to this maca powder that you can get. If this is something that helps you run or helps you jump higher or swim faster, then why should that not be on the list, I guess?
I see. I totally agree. I mean, that's part of the point that I'm trying to make is that it's basically too complex, I think, to approach in any other way than to hopefully what they'll do soon is take some kind of a scientifically based, you know, experimentation of these different substances and then use social logic to apply to it. What do we find is really going to guarantee an enhancement in enough, you know, circumstances so that it benefits one athlete over another? And, you know, do we want to make all of those kinds of substances just perfectly, you know, totally banned?
Do you think Del Popolo should have been disqualified?
I got to say, my gut reaction was no, because I support decriminalization. I mean, I would use and buy the stuff if I could, if it were legal,
okay,
to be honest. But I now that I think about it and hear some of your other callers, you know, even for myself, I do find that it enhances certain performance, or,
sure,
you know, I used to find that. So that's why I would want it to be legal around here and would use it again if I were allowed to. So I have to say that if they really want to ban performance-enhancing drugs, then they probably should consider marijuana one of those in the Olympics.
Hey, Malcolm, thanks so much for your call. We are up against a break. Kathleen and Willie, hold on. We will be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from the Olana Partnership and Olana State Historic Site, presenting the Olana Outdoor Movie Series on the East Lawn, featuring E.T. Saturday, August 11th at sunset, olana.org. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock, New York. Offering chilled, ready-to-eat vegan and vegetarian sandwiches, salads, and wraps. Facebook, Twitter, and sunflowernatural.com. Bard Summerscape, presenting the 23rd Annual Music Festival, Sans Sans and His World. 2 weeks of concerts, panels, and more. August 10th through 19th, 845-758-7900. In Woodland Pond at New Paltz, Live Care Retirement Living in the Mid-Hudson Valley, 845-256-5520.
1-800-348-2551. We are back with the last 20 minutes of Vox Pop, talking about drugs and sports, doping, anti-doping, and talking about the case of Nick Del Popolo, local judo athlete, local judo Olympian, disqualified yesterday. He was the first Olympian in the history of the games disqualified after an in-competition test positive for marijuana. Now, the IOC already admits, of course, that marijuana, they say, does nothing to enhance an athlete's performance. And as we've heard from some callers earlier, it may or may not, depending on what your sport is. But what about those drugs that can help competitors jump higher or run faster? In this day and age of medical and pharmaceutical advancement, what should stop Barry Bonds or Lance Armstrong from getting that edge on the competition? And just a little update, Barry Bonds talking with MLB.com the other day, this is out of the Daily News today, when asked by MLB.com about his current legal situation, the 48-year-old Bonds admitted that he is, quote, a felon of obstruction of justice because that is his title, but he also added, so what, in reference to his legal situation, hoping for an appeal, and he said that he belongs in the Hall of Fame without a doubt. Despite having perjured himself over steroid use, he says he belongs in the Hall of Fame. And we got into that a little bit, talking about Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, all these guys who made baseball so exciting for what's now known as the steroid era. you know, those hours of watching baseball, if you're a fan, you know, would you take it back? Would you take it all back if you could? 1-800-348-2551. Kathleen in Worthington. Kathleen, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi. I just have a question, if you don't mind. I remember hearing somebody say that Sudafed is on the list. Am I right? Did I hear that?
It's yeah. If I go back through my notes here, but yes, it is indeed, according to the there's an article here where, according to the article, yes, Sudafedrin is on the list. Yes.
Sudafedrin.
Yes. Well, it's one of the key ingredients.
Generic name Sudafed.
Right.
Okay, because I'm a very allergic person, and people have always told me, don't take Sudafed because it makes you drowsy. It puts you to sleep. You're not supposed to drive heavy equipment, blah, blah, blah. And so what is it that can positively then affect us, you know, an athlete's performance?
Well, the same could be said and has been said on the program about marijuana, but at the same time, we've had callers call in and say, you know, hey, I'm an athlete, or I'm a, you know, I do these activities recreationally, and I also use marijuana recreationally, and that it puts, you know, maybe it can put you in a zone. So maybe for some athletes, Sudafed puts them in the zone.
Well, you know what I thought of, though, sort of answering my own question, is that's one of the ingredients that they put into the meth.
Right.
Crystal meth.
Right.
And that I was thinking maybe that's what influenced them to put it on the list, not just the individual chemical Sudafedrin.
Sure, because the trace amounts might signal.
And then you would be letting people get that, and they could go home and make their own meth, crystal meth.
Right.
Which, you know, but I just was very surprised about that. I'm surprised about the marijuana thing, and I guess if some people have a positive reaction, I mean,
more power to
enhancing reaction. From that, I suppose it can happen, but it's just all too complicated for me.
Hey, Kathleen, thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. Hey, Willie in Springfield. Willie, you're on Vox Pop.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I disagree with a lot of people. I think that drugs should be banned in the Olympics, and I think that we forget that one of the reasons they're banned is that many of the participants start their training as children, and they're under the sway and influence of their coaches. And coaches want to get the best out of their performers, their athletes, and sometimes they aren't careful with the children's bodies as they develop. And if they were able to use drugs to enhance their performance, I think they would, and to the child's detriment.
Well, what about those drugs that aren't considered performance enhancing? You know, the likes of marijuana or stimulant drugs. Stimulant drugs that don't last in the way that steroids or any of those type of drugs, like a caffeine or an energy drink.
Well, I think that the body develops better naturally without stimulants, and without drug use. I mean, how are you going to take marijuana? Are you going to ingest it? Are you going to eat it? Are you going to smoke it? For adults on their own time, Michael Phelps is an individual person after the Olympics. I have no problem with his smoking pot if he wants to. That's his decision. When you're in training for the Olympics, especially a month before, you would think that you'd be pretty conscientious about what you're putting in your body. And I don't think that the rules are unreasonable.
Do you do you think that Phelps should be penalized in some way for his past transgression, his off-season transgression?
Well, I think that, you know, it depends on where he's living. If it's, I mean, I don't personally, do I think he should be penalized?
Cool.
No.
Okay.
I don't. If he were caught in an area where it's illegal to use marijuana, then he might be penalized, and that would be tragic, but that's his decision as an adult if he wants to take that risk. But for the developing brain, I do think there's evidence that it's good for it, and, I think that's...
Willie, you're cutting out here. We do appreciate the call, though. Thank you so much for calling. David in Saratoga. David, you're on.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
I was just calling because I thought it was kind of ridiculous that a drug that obviously has no performance-enhancing attributes to it would be banned for any reason besides them wanting to hold people to a higher moral code, I guess.
Well, as we heard a little bit earlier, there are supposedly those who apparently in the winter sports realm who have called in that said that using marijuana helps them ski or snowboard better. It puts them in the zone.
Well, I think that most doctors would disagree with them, and I think maybe that zone is more just of a comfort level that's sort of anyone who is addicted to, or well, you can't really be addicted to, but anyone who smokes marijuana really requires and needs, and they can't attain that feeling just in general life without having marijuana. So that would be my opinion.
What do you think of Nick Del Popolo? Do you think he should have been disqualified?
Well, I mean, based on the rules, yeah. But whether the rule has merit is a whole other question. And I don't know if you guys have reported on this at all today, but they've got a statement on his family's from an unnamed family member.
A relative, right.
Yeah, that Nick had no idea. And, I mean, I myself have never had a pot brownie or pot cookie or anything like that, but I've been told that it has a distinct flavor or aroma that is kind of tough to miss. So it seems strange that he wouldn't have known he took this.
Well, I mean, that's what's being reported today, and the statement says that, you know, he slept the whole ride home after he ate the brownie, and that he just thought he was fatigued from having been out. But you don't buy it.
No, I think, and this is just based on what other people have told me, you wouldn't just feel fatigued. You would probably have a few other side effects, unless it really did knock you out. And maybe that's the case, and then I think this is going to make for some pretty awkward family reunions in the future.
Hey, David. David calling from Saratoga Springs, not the town of Saratoga. I need to clarify Saratoga Springs, the city of. David, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks a lot, Patrick, and I really enjoyed your Vox Pop.
Oh, thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Dan in Great Barrington. Dan, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for taking the call. I had a brief Division One football career back in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and virtually everyone was on DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide. And what that is a lotion you put on to take away the hurt because you couldn't physically play without it.
Mm.
I was only there for a while. I don't know if this is on the banned list or not, but it's illegal in all states except Oregon. And everyone used to mail order it because the internet didn't exist then. We used to mail order it in from Oregon.
Hmm.
And the main, I was told, and I think 60 Minutes even did a piece on this at one point, that the main reason why this drug was illegal was because it was too cheap. It only cost like $6 a quart. And I had some left for several years after I ended my college career. Mm-hmm. I ended it because I just was tired of getting beaten up all the time.
Sure.
But everyone was on it. And you want something that you can smell at a distance? Anytime you rub this on, all you smelled was garlic. And you smelled garlic all around you. You had garlic in your mouth. Anybody who came close to you smelled garlic. And it was... but it was amazing the way it just took the pain away.
Right.
And it was a lotion you spread on you. And you, wherever it hurt, if you had a bad shoulder, you put it on a shoulder. If it was a knee, you put it on a knee. It didn't enhance your ability to play, but it certainly made you able to play.
Well, that's, I think that's the point made by the IOC's, not so much the cannabinoids, but the other narcotic pain drugs that they have on the list, where that I believe that it's codeine is allowed, but there are other kind of higher test, if you will, drugs that are painkillers that are not allowed on the list, and the rationale being that because you can lessen the pain, that you can play longer, which in turn would enhance your performance.
Well, virtually everyone. On every school we played and everything, used it. I know a couple of professional athletes today, and they all use it. Everyone uses it. And I don't know, it's still, if you look it up on the net, and I did the other day because I was hurting, it's illegal and it's hard to get hold of. But it's illegal everywhere, but yet everybody's using it. And it's the easiest thing to test for. You smell someone's breath.
Mm.
and yet they're always using it. It's very effective. I noticed no side effects whatever. It just took away like a chronic pain. You know, I don't know if you've ever played ball at all, but the morning after your first day of practice is another experience when you get out of bed. You feel like you've been hit by a train.
Hey, Dan, I'm sorry. We're running out of time. We got a lot of callers. The morning after my first day of practice, I quit the team. So that's my story. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you. All right. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Cindy in Bennington. Cindy, you're on.
Hi. There was a swimmer in the Olympics sometime in the last 20 years. And I don't remember if he won gold or silver in his event, but he won his medal. He was all excited. And then it turned out that they told him he had to give the medal back because he had asthma and he took his asthma medication. He had told the IOC about it. You have to submit all the drugs that you're on long before you get to the Olympics. All the drugs that you take for medical conditions are scrutinized by the national team and the physicians, and they had gotten it was an okay drug to use, and then at the last minute, the IOC had added it to their list of banned drugs, and nobody noticed because they had already okayed it, and he ended up losing his medal.
There's
elite athletes,
right?
Even when they're like 12 years old, because at 12 years old, you're that's when they decide whether you're going to be an elite athlete or not. That's when you have to have made the decision for the training, sometimes sooner than that. And the kids themselves know, you know, you can take that, you can't take that. If you're going to use this, then you have to go through authorization procedures, and it's only good for these kinds of competitions. But at the next level of competition, you might have to switch to another drug.
So you bring up the idea of, and there are therapeutic exemptions to this banned list. Now, this gets tricky with a drug like marijuana, where, you know, something that perhaps in 1998 wasn't considered as socially accepted, at least in the United States, as it is today. And now you have states that say, yes, this drug has a medical benefit, but the other states and the federal government says no, there is no medical benefit to this. So then, you know, let's say you're on the IOC and somebody approaches you and says, "Well, hey, I live in California. I'm an elite athlete, and I take this for my headaches." Let's say, what's the call then?
They have a list of banned drugs.
Sure.
And giving therapeutic exemptions if there is something else available to use that has been found for the majority of people to be as effective, they're not going to agree to a banned drug being an exemption.
Right, right.
That's been our experience with our children as far as therapeutic exemptions, even at like sectionals level, which is regions of the country, not even national. And generally, in the United States, anyway, I can speak to that. If a drug is going to be banned at an international level or at an Olympic level, then the national rules comply with that people are taking the right kinds of, aren't taking the wrong kinds of drugs that are going to get their results overturned.
Sure. So know the rules is, I think, what you're saying.
It's very complicated. They have a short list.
Yeah.
Which you can download from the internet, and it goes on for a while. But the actual list goes on with all the details on it. For swimming, it goes on for almost 25 pages when you download the full thing.
Hey, Cindy, thanks so much for the call. We got about a minute left, so I'm going to go to another caller. But thank you so much. Let's go to Jeff in Great Barrington. Jeff, you got about 20 seconds.
Patrick, thanks for taking a call. I'm not worried about marijuana in the Olympics until they decide to have events like nodding off, sleeping, or eating contests. I understand and I support Patrick and enhancing drugs certainly, but marijuana it's really very silly, I think, and it's a shame this young man can't compete.
Do you think that a couple of years down the line, if it becomes more socially acceptable, that they'll have some kind of apology made?
Unless they can make, they can prove that it actually enhances an athlete's performance, it shouldn't be banned at all.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much. You are the last caller. We are out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. My apologies to Janet. Was that Janet we left on the line? Sorry about that, Janet. Support for Vox Pop comes from Fatigan's Nursery, Latham, New York, featuring emerald greens, ruby ribbons, red jewels, and pink diamonds. You can grow that, Fatigan's.com. Berkshire Medical Center's Joint Replacement Program, private rooms, pre-surgical education, rehabilitation, program coordinator, and six orthopedic surgeons, 413-395-7680. Kent School, working to help students develop their passions and a lifelong love of the arts, kent-school.edu. And H. Houston Son, True Value, Woodstock, New York, since 1932. A local store featuring hardware, outdoor grills, Benjamin Moore paint, tool and equipment rentals. True Value, start right, start here, hhoust.com. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Bruce Herbach for answering the phones. I'm Patrick Donges. Tomorrow, Alan returns for another exciting open forum. Stay tuned for a news update.